Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Alas! Poor Calder, burdened with his father's fear, he begs for the ear of his far superior nemesis. Will Mr. Nobody and the Chief truly rally together for the salvation of the human race? Sure, maybe he should have done A Hard Day's Night. That's right, we're talking Doom Patrol, Episode 5, Season 1, Paw Patrol, all things after show right here on AfterBuzz, starting right now!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Wow.
Why, thank you. I just feel like Ezekiel, he is my spirit animal in every sense of the word. And then Mr. Nobody, I wish he was narrating my life at all times. And I really feel like Kipling should have gone with the Hard Day's Night. Maybe none of this would have happened. As we're talking Doom Patrol, Season 1, Episode 5, Paw Patrol, a continuation of the Episode 4 story arc involving a lot of evilness.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
A lot of evilness. Like, and it's so good. The end of days, the beginning of a team. My name's Taran. I will be hosting this week. I'm back.
Yes, welcome back.
I missed all of you. Thank you so much. I hope you missed me too. I'm joined by the wonderful Elena, is in the building.
Hello, I'm Elena Jordan.
And then, of course, Oliver.
What's up? I'm Oliver. Yeah.
The ever-changing hair.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's what it is.
I'm actually not. I'm one of Oliver's personalities.
You are. You're one of the 64 personalities of Oliver.
Yes.
And then you are always just Elena Jordan. Yeah. I've actually never seen you not be Elena Jordan. One time you went in Halloween costume
just
as Elena Jordan.
That was my most expensive
it looked costume
I've ever
it
made.
It was crazy.
I made a full latex mask of my own face.
It is.
And wore it Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, that was
around.
Really weird that you were wearing your own face. And I was like, wow, you look like. And then you were like, no. And then you took it off and then still looked like you.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent. It was excellently
Thank
done.
You.
And something very Doom Patrol. As we are talking Season 1, Episode 5, Paw Patrol, and we are going over all of the things, we're going to discuss Jane, or should I say Kay, or Penny, or Dr. Harrison. We are not sure. Mr. Nobody and Niles Calder. We love what's going on there. Robo Man and Jane. Like father, like daughter. We are going to go into some Rita Farr transformation. She kind of becomes a hero, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there was some hero tendencies, something we haven't seen before. Cyborg and his moral compass. Larry and the Spirit, Baphomet, Nurame, Kipling. Got to talk about that guy because one of my favorite characters by far. The rewritten book.
Mm-hmm.
Going into Marilyn, the recreator. Is Niles back or nah? We gotta find out. And what is the Doom Patrol? Some exciting news and gossip. And our wonderful special segment, We Got the Power, where we discuss the power which we wish we got.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha.
May we never meet again as we get into the predictions. But starting off, I want to know your overall thoughts on this week's episode, Paw Patrol.
I was trying to think of a fun dog paw pun, but I couldn't think of one.
I guarantee you, Elena
is a,
she
Elena.
Will come up with
that
one.
That was pawful.
Thank you. I knew dog I could
got
remember.
It.
Yeah. Whatever.
No, the show just really confuses me, yet I'm so captivated at the same time. And it just goes to show. I think a theme in this episode was there's heroes in unlikely places and kind of like... Obviously, what we saw with the dog saved the day. And so that really, I think that sets the tone for the show as well.
I was just really excited that Mr. Nobody was back. And I love any time that they kind of break the fourth wall as well.
And they did that very well.
So well. And just when he's like, it can't be over. I wasn't even in the last two episodes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I've been screaming, Alan Tudyk. Don't you
exactly.
even worry about it.
It started off with a snowball. And then it turned into the snowball effect of Mr. Nobody just breaking the wall.
Yeah.
So strong.
The literal snowball. into the snowball effect, into the snow globe shattering. Look at that.
Oh, exactly. Gosh. Exactly. Boom. Slippery slope. My thoughts are, I'm going to be very, very honest right now when I say I was a dissenter. I was not looking forward to Doom Patrol. I did not like how they were trying to force feed us Doom Patrol through the Titans. Then they did so through Young Justice. They were trying to force feed us Doom Patrol, and saying, oh, we have to watch Doom Patrol. And honestly, Doom Patrol is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Every episode is captivating. It's confusing. It is David Finch meets Chris Nolan's version of Guardians of the Galaxy in a DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
They write it in such a way that it is profound. There's epiphanies in each. I mean, even something as simple like rules is how they control us, and Jane writes it on the every little subtle nuance. And this episode is right along that lines. Everything they do, Baphomet, just the song, just these aren't even characters that I, except for Cyborg, none of the characters on Doom Patrol are people that I'm specifically familiar with. And when I mean that, I mean the way we are with Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
What? You didn't grow up with a Baphomet poster on your wall?
You know what? Ironically, I did. I actually, when I sacrificed my soul to the living God.
You have some really interesting backstories.
They gave me a poster. I thought they were going to give me like world domination, and it was just a poster. I did it for a poster. Cool. And I also sold my soul once again in college for a credit card, so it doesn't matter. It's a reoccurring theme in my life. However, I'm just saying, when it comes to the characters, with Titans, I was very familiar with a lot of those characters. Nightwing, Stargirl, sure.
Raven.
But Raven.
Beast Boy.
But
Tara.
Doom Patrol, even when they did the Titans episode of Doom Patrol, if you watch our recap, I wasn't impressed. And then they did everything right on the show. And I apologize to all the fans. I've never apologized in my life. I'm going to apologize to the fans. I'm going to apologize to everyone who I ever said Doom Patrol, I don't know if it's going to be good. It's amazing. It's
better than Titans, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think it's so much more entertaining, and it's just a unique tone, various tones within the series.
100%.
It's just so tightly written too.
Yeah. Like, yes.
So
and to me, you know, I grew up watching Teen Titans, like the animated series.
Sure.
That's how I was introduced to them. But to me, I think in Titans, the characters weren't as likable as the characters in Doom Patrol are being portrayed.
Okay.
Personally,
so here's my thing, because everyone's creating a comparison between the two. I love the fact that they are so different. That Titans is Titans and Doom Patrol is Doom Patrol, and they are not the same. And to me, that makes them both amazing. And with the addition of Young Justice, it makes the DC streaming channel worth it to me. And I am a subscriber because of how good the programming, these three shows are. Everything else, I'm actually not, it's okay. But these three shows are worth the subscription, and I find myself just waiting for the next episode. And honestly, Diane Guerrero,
does
a fantastic job. Unfortunately, she will be overlooked for a Golden Globe and all those accolades because this is a comic book show.
Yeah,
the same way that Black Panther got so much crap for being nominated simply because it was a comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to that. We're really not used to that. Other than The Dark Knight, we're not used to that concept. Her acting is phenomenal.
I agree.
And let's jump into Jane. Okay? Let's jump into Jane and talk about her and the characters that we see her. So now we added two new personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And a real person, as far as we know. Kay Challis. So we see the little girl Kay. That's who we're saying Jane really is, her real name. We see that because Dr. Bertrand gets the paperwork, and it's Kay. Her Kay, and then, of course, Roboman sees that character. We also meet Penny. Penny Farthing.
Farthing.
We met Penny Farthing last.
Penny episode, Farthing. Yeah. Oh, so it's the bicycle. That's what a Penny Farthing is. It's the bicycle with the big wheel.
Oh, okay.
It's the big wheel with the little wheel. That's a Penny Farthing.
Oh. And that's fun fact.
That's cute.
The more you know.
Cool. So Penny, but we didn't get to know what Penny's power is.
No. His power is to being stutter useless. And to speak in a British accent exactly. And be very,
you know what?
Charles Dickens-like.
You say that, but British accent, guaranteed superpower. I'm telling you that right now.
Okay.
Makes everything sound more humble and believable or whatever it needs to be. British accent.
I'm waiting for that superpower.
That's a real thing.
Okay.
And then we also meet Dr. Harrison, who becomes a very key element into the revival of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on Jane and these new identities?
I mean, I really liked that this episode, the way that it was structured, it gives us the subtitles with the year and everything and how it opened up with Jane wearing this like shirt that was time travel F missile. And then showing that it was the 1970s, I thought that one of the powers was that she was time traveling, but now it just kind of shows that, no, she is just like Rita and Larry, kind of one of these immortal figures. And even showing us her backstory going as far back to show the exact moment that all 64 of her personalities were given superpowers, and seeing that they didn't splinter simultaneously. She already had all of those personalities. So this was some previous trauma
mm-hmm.
that she has repressed to the point that they don't even talk about Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from the comic
book, we know that the trauma was the abuse that she faced from her family and her father and I believe an uncle. And I thought, I'm going to say this, I thought that Time Travel F Missile was the name of the band that was playing.
I think it may have been.
I thought that's what it was. I thought that punk era, I thought that's what it was. I'm not sure. I just, that was my hypothesis.
I definitely think Crazy Jane is getting a lot of screen time, and it could be annoying to some viewers because it's just been Jane, Jane, Jane. However, it's just making me fall in love with the character so much more because she is so complex. And I'm looking at the chat. I'm not neglecting you guys, so shout out to Billy Jean Girl 24 said this theory. So Jane is just another personality. So that's a theory. That's
well, Jane is we, yeah. exactly. Kind of
so
it's like out.
So
we thought Jane
it's
was
K, like,
we thought Jane was the
the core personality.
Was zero
yeah.
was person zero person you know the original
the yeah.
and now we're learning that's just the first.
So K's everything was a lie, basically.
It's
my life has just been a lie.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
learned that's about the core and some more.
God.
How did you guys feel about Penny? Did Penny annoy you, or was she actually,
you know,
great comic relief?
Penny brought up a really good point, I think, as to Cliff, where it's like, look, you don't understand, we're all part of Jane. So if you insult one of us, like, even if you want to be with Jane in the last moments, you still are, because we're all still fragments, we're all still part of the same underground. And then now, kind of, you know, the fact that they've buried the actual core so deep that they don't even talk about the predominant personality, the core personality anymore. That's huge, where it's almost like reflecting how Cliff is scared to reveal himself to Clara.
Mm-hmm.
Kay's scared to reveal herself to Cliff because it's like this trauma, this idea
wow.
of like this monstrosity is just so intense for both of them. That they have to put up this shield.
Hammerhead said something very profound too. Was like, we're not. You don't just. It's not like an order. We're not a menu, and you can order which
yeah.
one you want.
Yeah.
And that was actually a very instrumental piece of information because it did seem like, oh, we need this one. Why don't you appear? And
yeah.
and then it's like, no, mm-hmm. that's not how it works. I found it what you said about what Penny said. Your perspective on that was dead on, in my opinion. The way you
well,
it was like that's it. Oliver, do you
what?
Oliver.
Oliver. I'm with you. I'm like,
Oliver,
dang,
am
like,
I a genius? Yes
girl.
Or no?
Oliver, are you sure that was a Dr. Harrison? But you got both of us like, yes,
I mean,
I'll join the cult.
She's kind of upstaging us in this after show. No, she has succeeded. She is Miss Nobody. Yeah.
Oh, I would not fight you on that. I should. I should admit that.
And the rest of us are Mr. Nobody Importance. Thanks. That's where we're going. Your thoughts on Penny?
Well, shout out to the chat, because Renji said Penny made me think of a female Oliver Twist, and I kind of agree with that. But I thought what stood out to me from Crazy Jane or Hammerhead when she did, when you did bring up that line of saying we're not just like a menu, we're not a menu, you can't order from us. I showed a lot of Hammerhead's character. To me, it seemed like I didn't expect Hammerhead to kind of care for the other personalities. To me,
so
it was almost as if they were.
But,
kind
of, but that's
would
what
you
I thought.
Say that that was a twist for Oliver.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, we're gonna get a jar. We're getting a jar for you. We've done shows. We've done enough shows where I'm getting a jar. Hammerhead, and that's the thing. It's interesting you thought that way. I'm thinking Hammerhead. In a lot of these situations, the protective personality or the is there to protect the others, mm-hmm. and is tough on the others because it's like I'd rather bully myself than have someone else bully me, and that's I've seen that. And when I say that, I'm really taking my expertise from Law and Order SVU. So let me just throw that out there, which is where all my knowledge of psychological trauma comes from, but. The concept is Hammerhead is the bully who's protecting the rest of them. And we see a part where in the beginning where we're going to talk a lot more in depth with Robot Man is how they begin and they're like laying with next to each other. And it's like, oh, baby doll messed up. Mm-hmm. Like Hammerhead's the protector. Like I'm not going to let down my walls for anything or for anyone.
Uh-huh. Which is kind of ironic, too, because one of the personalities literally is Silvertongue, who can create daggers with her words.
With her words.
But Hammerhead's words are the ones that are the most cutting to Cliff every time.
Every single time.
Which is why we see Hammerhead so much more.
Mentally and emotionally cutting, rather than physically cutting.
And physically, yep.
Is Hammerhead saying... Okay, she says things that kind of cut deep, and they're low blows a lot of time. Are they true?
I feel like they're very harsh truths, almost exaggerated and just told in ways that are so blunt that they're almost intentionally made to be miscommunicated. You know, like telling Cliff that he's basically a monster. It's like, you know, Jane doesn't really think that.
Yeah.
But
kind of like the whole thing about a bully. You say she's a bully. It's
yeah.
She was bullied physically or harmed, abused. So she's, in a sense, now becoming the bully herself by doing all of these things.
Okay, so there's a parallel that I saw, and this is with Hammerhead. Hammerhead, Jane turns into Hammerhead at the 1977 punk party, mm-hmm. where she's getting attacked, and she just basically beats up an entire group mm-hmm. of people and gets taken to
such
the insane asylum.
Scene.
It was a parallel to when Roboman basically tore apart people mm-hmm. in the previous episode.
All right.
Jane's wasn't as violent simply because I don't think anyone died in her encounter.
But we saw her just as violent even at the same time with Nazis too. So it's like...
Why is she judging?
That's why I'm like, yeah. And the whole thing that they talked about last episode about like the purpose and, you know, at least I exist for a purpose. And it's like, Cliff has a purpose? Shut up.
Yeah, she's hard. But is this wall?
Right?
Is this wall to... Because she does feel an affinity for Cliff. Because it's like, I hate you, Cliff, but I'm always going to be around you. And one thing I know, Hammerhead doesn't do anything she doesn't want to do. And even though she hurts Cliff, she always allows him to be around. And they kind of pair off. They pair off.
Yeah. Which we definitely saw that continuation this episode of kind of the A and B storyline. With Dr. Harrison.
And Dr. Harrison is the next point in context when it comes to Jane. Dr. Harrison, of course, having the power not only just to change her eye color, but to make suggestions and be and basically use those suggestions to control people.
Mm-hmm. You know what I love, though? The fact that although they don't use it to control people, AfterBuzz gives you many suggestions, too. If you want to subscribe to different categories like mm-hmm. sci-fi, drama, reality, all that good stuff. So you guys should help us out and mm-hmm. you should subscribe, rate, give us those thumbs up, 5 stars,
right.
iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, all over the place, especially iTunes too, because it bumps us up in the views and people can mm-hmm. find us easier.
Yeah.
And you get to hear all of our lovely theories, which are delightful.
Yeah, we want to hear your theories as well. So comment. And like she said, subscribe, God damn it, please. We love you. We love you. Sorry, that was a little bit of my...
That was a little bit harsh.
That was Hammerhead. That wasn't your fault.
That was Hammerhead Oliver.
I love you.
But we do appreciate all of you, and we appreciate your comments below. You are as much a part of the panel as each and every one of us. So please continue to subscribe, rate, and share. We look forward to hearing more from you, as we look forward to hearing more from Dr. Harrison. Dr. Harrison becomes a key critical part, and her suggestions, and even though said that we're not trying to suggest, we don't try to suggest people, like, so we can take over their minds, but I do. And my thing was, I loved Dr. Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the idea of, like, if you gotta fight fire with fire, you gotta fight one cult with another cult.
Yes.
And just the whole interaction with Mr. Nobody when it's like, you know, here's your pamphlet about the recreator. And she's like, I'm sorry, you have to fight a decreator with a recreator?
And it's like, yeah.
And both of them just being eyes, like...
And they have a stare-off.
Staring at each other, like, just cross-eyed.
But that's the thing. We need Dr. Harrison to suggest and begin the cult. And they make the L. Ron Hubbard reference, and it's like, who has time for that? Just little things, very good snippets. But Dr. Harrison creates this cult, and we find out more about it. And without that power, and we flip through the pages of Jane to find the right one, and we find her, and it's not the one that I expected it to be. I didn't know what to expect. And here we get Dr. Harrison and the power of suggestion, and begins the cult.
And Marilyn. I just love the way that they have the tie-ins, too, where it's just like, oh, here's the big eye. Here's, like, a roach speaking, like, as just Ezekiel. A total red herring, having Ezekiel, yeah, arguing with a rat. Yeah. At the beginning,
of course they're going to have cheese.
Marilyn, yeah. And then later on, seeing her at the psych ward just lighting up her cigarette,
sure,
and then all the way back in Nuremberg.
And she's got like a form of lung cancer, and she's yeah. Like, yeah, you didn't think I'd change at all. Exactly. Like, oh. It's just very smart. And Dr. Harrison, of course, being the key to all of that, yeah. Being the one who makes the suggestions, taking the suggestion from Marilyn, tying it in with the dog and all the things that we're going to talk about.
The bell ringer.
Yeah, the bell ringer. Let's get into Mr. Nobody and Niles Calder. And, you know, or Mr. Nobody. We can't say Mr. Nobody in front of Niles because then what? He immediately starts throwing up. So the Voldemort of he who shall not be named. But unlikely allies. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Did you think that this was a worthy treaty? Because not everyone agreed.
I mean... It seemed like, you know, worst case scenario, the whole world is going to end, yeah. And that will kill everyone. And if there's nothing, then what's the point?
So, I mean, Mr. Nobody can't do anything.
Yeah, so. Mr. Nobody still wants to be somebody to right? some degree. So, I mean, it makes sense where it's like, look, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And if this is the decreator, if this is somebody who's going to literally blink everyone out of existence... We got to do something about it. And probably it was nice to not have to keep running around in that circle.
Yeah. And it was it was refreshing to see Chief back again with the Doom Patrol. I don't know if we're calling them the Doom Patrol. Yeah, the Paw Patrol. Whatever you want to call them. It was really refreshing because he's been gone for so long. So you have to literally, like you said, fight fire yeah. with fire in this moment.
Why was Mr. Nobody not able to narrate the world back into existence, since that's kind of what he can do?
Because his he was saying that the decree, I mean, that's basically what he ended up doing was with the recreator. But the way that the magic worked was he can't just say, and then the decreator went away because they have to bring back everybody who was decreated.
Did anyone else get a Thanos feel
when we're blinking people 100%.
Out of existence?
I was triggered. I was very triggered
I was
seeing
like,
that.
So D-Creator is just like a slower moving Thanos with less right? bling.
It is.
That scene with Rita and Elliot. That was heartbreaking, honestly. And like,
it was.
We just got introduced to Elliot, but still it made me feel something.
And especially with Rita going out of her way to save. Yeah. And we see this heroic character that we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. What is the relationship between Mr. Nobody and Niles that's so in-depth? It has to be more than just...
Well, we saw it with the puppet thing.
Sure, but it has to be way more than that. I feel like there's some family connection. Is Mr. Nobody Niles' son? There has to be more, in my opinion.
Arch-nemesis.
Yeah, it just needs to be more. I mean, and Niles is such a... Calder is such a hero, and he has no powers, as far as we know.
He's just a dope dude.
Yeah, is that like his power?
Oh, really? You're gonna freaking lobotomize my girl here? Well, guess what? I'm driving her to my house. She's staying there with my other two weirdos.
He just likes to collect weirdos. I mean, I don't judge him at all. Saved Harrison or Crazy Jane. Okay.
And whoever. Was everyone okay with them teaming up? Like, were you okay? Just a yes or no?
It gave me very Magneto Professor X vibes.
I felt the same thing. 100%. I felt the same thing when they were teaming up. It's just, it's parallels, which of course we know that Doom Patrol has some X-Men parallels, and that was a whole purpose of creating the comic book. So I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I didn't want to throw that out there because you know how people get mad when you cross those streams.
I know.
Some parallels and what the hell's?
Robo-Man and Jane. Well, now that we're talking relationships, this interconnectivity, we see Robo-Man and Jane, and a quote that stuck out of my mind, I thought you knew me, and then Jane says, no, you thought you knew me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just going back to the whole thing about how she's trying to bury Kay, really. Like, you know, there's so many layers to her. And he wants the core layer, being Jane, to be there in his final moments or what he thinks is going to be. And it's like, you don't even really truly know.
But does he actually want Jane, or does he just want his daughter and this is the closest he can get to
her? I mean, that's the thing, is he doesn't understand that all of these aspects of her personality is what composes her. She's not just Jane. She's 64 personalities. She's the entire underground.
Into one.
Mm-hmm. And it takes time and trust to get to know one person, let alone these 64 personalities. And it just goes to show you can't force a friendship or a trust with someone. It has to be. It definitely has to be earned, especially with 64 damn personalities.
Yeah, I wonder if Hammerhead's nice to anyone.
I feel like
Wasn't it Hammerhead who? I still think she considers all the personalities to be a family. And didn't Hammerhead was the one who said, like, 14 of us are gluten-free or whatever. Yeah. So she's looking out. She's looking out for her family.
But it's also a way to neg. She negs. You know? Like, when she talks, I'm like, hey, Hammerhead, yeah, I'll try my best to impress you. I'm attracted. Robo-Man and Jane clearly have this father-daughter relationship, even though Jane is trying to stay away from Robo-Man in that way, but still keeps going back to him. And the concept of Robo-Man always finding this good in Jane, is that good really there?
I mean, yeah, I think intrinsically she's a good person. We even have that great line where it's like, you know, you were very small and the world was very big and full of monsters.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, well, now the world is very small and I'm the monster. Sheesh. And Mr. Nobody pops in with that. Actually, I'm the monster. And we see, you know, there's so many different layers. There's so many different depths to what does it mean to be monstrous? What does it mean to be, you know, one just ostracized from society? But is it for a reason? Is it for a legitimate reason?
Yeah. And I think you want to see Jane do good in the world, especially everything that happened to him. He wasn't doing well when he was a human. He was kind of a jerk. He was kind of a D-bag, you know? So I think having this newfound view on life, he wants to also kind of push that on Jane.
He wants to make reprimands and have this redeeming quality for his past mistakes. And so we see Mr. Nobody punishes Niles, and he's continued to torture him. And even at the end, he comes back and reclaims him, takes him back. And then we see the opposite with Robo-Man, where Robo-Man consistently forgives Jane and always tries to see the best. And even when she's like, leave me alone as Hammerhead, he keeps going, I just have a question. I'm going to go with you. And then he's just following her around. So that watching that story arc unfold is very interesting, and we'll see a lot more. Another story arc that came about, Rita Elastigirl's transformation into a hero. Mm-hmm. Why do you think she wanted to protect Elliot?
I still think something's up with it. Remember the scene a couple episodes back with the baby? I feel like she's definitely trying to right a wrong from her past, I think. I know that goes into predictions, but that scene just really stuck with me. It was like, it was black and white. There was a baby in the crib. Remember that scene? It stuck with me. So there's got to be something about, I don't know if she killed her baby or something happened to the baby. I don't know if she used to be a mom.
Casey Anthony. I don't know.
Oh, right? No.
Jeez, too soon?
The Lindbergh baby. No. I have no clue. So I think I don't want to say like she's seeing her son or a child, a connection to Elliot, but I think being reminded of that past, whatever happened, she wants to be a hero. You know?
I think, well, last episode too, we see that they really connect when she saves his life from, you know, bringing him in from committing suicide and really trying to protect him. it was just really heart-wrenching to see this, where she's like, you know, it's the end of the world, but we still have time. What do you want to do? And then just...
Sheesh. And he just, and she falls apart for her, but she gets it together.
Yeah.
She doesn't fall apart. I thought she way faster. Exactly. She way faster. And you see her protective side, even when she stretches her hand and pushes Kipling. Mm-hmm. And she's protective. Yeah. Like,
she's
there's got
to
be something.
Her
maybe.
Powers a little bit better. Exactly. And it seems like her kind of maternal instinct is what is navigating
is
that.
Kicking it in. I don't know. I also think maybe Cyborg's nags towards Rita is actually working a little. Where he keeps bringing up and reiterating, well, you don't want to be a part of this. So yeah. I know where you stand. We know where you stand. Mm-hmm. And he keeps kind of doing that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's actually kind of working.
Well, Cyborg this episode, too.
Yeah, Cyborg. Let's get right into Cyborg and his moral compass, where he actually goes off on even Niles Calder for teaming up with Mr. Nobody. He's like, no, morals say this, principles say this. And
he just tries to make everything way too black and white. Yeah. Where he's like, there's good and there's evil, and that's it. And it's like, dude, like,
it's not that simple.
Yeah, like, there's some middle ground here. Like, sometimes you do have to team up with somebody that you wouldn't want to just for
the lesser of two evils.
Mm. Yeah, and also, so the means justify the ends. Talk to your dad, man. Like, why are you being such a dick to your dad?
Well, he's got daddy issues. That's not a question. And here we see Niles said something to him that he held on to. You need to hold on to who Vic Stone is, and he refuses to let that go. We see him being the overbearing leader, even if they don't want him to be.
But Niles even is like, but you shouldn't have come here. Yeah. And it's like, well, dang, that's got to be rough to hear. Mm-hmm. That has to hurt worse than blowing your own arm off.
Or ooh. Blowing your own mom off. Whatever. Oh, awkward.
Ooh, that's a little too rough. That's,
maybe he deserves it. Yeah. You know?
So I'm still trying to... First of all, I'd like to say the Cyborg character, it took me a little time to get on board with him. And now I'm
to get
fully
on board with him?
Stop doing that. So he's so good.
Please continue.
He's so good. It's such a good character. This hubris that he displays constantly. Mm-hmm. Hubris that blows his own arm off. Where he has to be the savior. He has to be the hero.
And I think he has a lot. Not only do the Doom Patrol has to learn. He has to do some learning as well, because he thinks everything is black and white, yet it's not that simple. But I think they balance each other out, and I just love seeing their interactions. This guy who's all about being a hero, whereas these characters don't know what it's really like to be a hero. They would like to, so I think they both balance each other out, and they really do. I hope they learn from one another, you know? So
yeah,
I'm rooting for this team.
I mean, we all are. We're all hoping that Cyborg's immature and trying to be super mature. And it's interesting to watch. And when you're talking about rooting for one another, Larry and his spirit.
Yeah. What's,
we see, you know, it's torture. What mm-hmm. did that even mean?
Well, I love, too, that scene with Niles kind of explaining a little bit more, where he's like, he's tortured because you're tortured. And Larry's saying, you know, I see everybody who I've ever loved burned whenever the spirit leaves me. Like, it's a horrible scenario for me. And so I love that he's told, you know, well, you need to communicate this, because the spirit is a lot more powerful and a lot more emotional, a lot more sympathetic than you're really giving credit for. He's not trying to torture you. He's reflecting how you're torturing yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it ties in with, obviously, him being a queer character and kind of that symbolic metaphor of when you're coming out, possibly the fear of losing your family disappearing and being burned, whatever you want to imagine it. So I think it's just a very powerful story. And I was sad there wasn't a whole lot of Larry in this episode, because I really want to explore that character even more. So I'm hoping we see even
good
more
setup for it, though. I feel like that's
yeah,
gonna be
it's such they're doing
more.
Such a good job of teasing and wanting more of it.
There
for
might
sure.
not have been a lot, but every single time it's very poignant.
Yeah,
even the little things we saw last. Two episodes ago, when he's leaving the machine, just even though he doesn't say anything, just that look of defeat mm-hmm. was so powerful. And this episode, even when he slumps and the negative man is out there walking around, the spirit's walking around and doing stuff, it's just so powerful. And then he plays the video to explain to him, and like, this is what you need to understand. It's just such a it's like, yeah, less words, but more things to say. And I'm looking for a bigger setup with that. Let's get into some of the magical stuff. Kipling. What do we think about Kipling's character, personally?
I'm kind of sad that this is going to be the last we see Kipling for a little bit. I feel like that was a little bit of a cop-out answer where I was like, I'd love to stay and help you, but then I'd have to admit that I like you. And I was like, just stay and help then, bro. Like, don't, like, what? Then don't give us an answer at all.
If he's a Knight Templar. He's got to go. He's got magical items to ransack and take back somewhere.
That's true. I mean, he's like a living WoW
so character strong.
That's been just like dipped in pop culture.
I love it. I love things. Chewing gum? No, knowing gum. Like little things. Cigarette? Oh, because you thought this was tobacco? I opened up, you know, portals in the universe where we slide through. Oh, reminded me of Dogma when they cut and yeah. they get through. It was just, I really liked the character. He played it so well that... That confident arrogance and magic for science, that was such a strong theme, where Cyborg is the epitome of science, and Kipling is effortless magic, but it's
perfect powerful. Rivals.
Exactly, where they both, you know, it's even though they could work together.
I thought this episode was going to, like, focus on that a little more, but they kind of just left that more a little last episode. I did like when Mr. Nobody was like, all right, let's not make this two-parter a trilogy. And it's like, all right, well, okay, I can see you're trying to, like, perhaps you're not going to
sometimes you're not going to get into that.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes those trilogies just end on a bad note, so keep it a sequel, and that's it.
But Kipling, I hope we see more. I hope we get more Kipling. There has to be something. Maybe. With this show, you never know. Mm-hmm. You really never know. Baphomet, the horse head. Baphomet, of course, being a messenger of the Dark Lord.
Baphomet's old crush on Niles.
Was I know.
Cute. Very cute.
I was also kind of creeped out by it.
Obviously, they've met before. Kipling's like, oh, should I get you guys a stable? What's going on? It was very nice. We went from donkey to horse, so this Mr. Ed character, mm-hmm. just of a head, where it was...
And both were a little unstable.
Yeah, they were. They really were. And the thing about it is, I don't know if you guys felt that, you know, the concept of this deity that the Knights Templar are accused of falsely worshiping. It's the horse head. It's the image of the Sabbatic goat, right? So that's where it comes from. It's just we hear of the Baphomet throughout time. It's mm-hmm. this almost, you know, Dark Lord-ish imagery. And it's just like a My Little Pony head.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was confusing yet captivating.
Exactly.
Once again, like the show.
Exactly.
Nernheim. The world, the mom goes to the world and she's becomes this like queen and they're sitting on the thrones. She's killed the father, you know.
The Queen Arkin doesn't even remember Elliot at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
I mean, I don't know. I and like makes seeing the Marilyn statement. Makes the statement.
Down, that was the best scene in this episode.
It
honestly.
Really was. What peace nothingness brings.
Yeah. She's Crazy Town Banana Pants, man.
Yeah, but you know what? That's interesting. It's the concept of, like, what peace nothingness brings. That's something we see as a theme. It's, you know.
Marilyn really blew her mind with that.
It's crazy.
With that scene.
Yeah.
I tried. It wasn't as good as yours.
It was an explosive pun, man.
It wasn't. How'd you guys think of Nurheim? And then Nurheim being in this globe that was just on the table.
That also I thought was blown up.
I'm speechless, yeah.
The rewritten book, overuse of the concept of, really quick, is like the overusage of male pronouns. So this isn't a book, it's a douchebag. Then they go, let's use a dog with a bell and invisible words. And then Marilyn will be the chosen one.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the idea of it being a dog, mostly because I thought Paw Patrol was an awesome pun for a title, and I felt like... having these kind of stoned out psych patients be like, what if it's not a dude? What if it's a dog?
Yeah.
And what if, like, you can't read it all the time? What if it's only if you, like, ring a bell and then that special bell shows it?
And it was
she's
brilliant.
Like, genius.
Brilliant. And then
the rest she's of like, dance.
You guys are pointing. Exactly. Dance like there's a giant eye in the sky watching you.
I loved it. I thought it was perfect and having the song tie in through the all three of the worlds, all three of the storylines.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And the concept of You know, what's the phrasing of the people who couldn't hear the music thought all the people who were dancing were crazy, you know, because they could hear the music. It was like kind of like that.
They wheeled out the giant speaker, yeah, too.
They did. They did. So. But it was still like the concept of the we get what's going on and they're right. Yeah. And they did end up saving the world. Marilyn, viva la recreator. We have this recreating eye, the recreator to fight the decreator. Was, you know, a brilliant idea. So, Niles.
Brilliant idea?
Oh, my gosh. Don't do that. So, Niles, are we going to get him back or nah?
I mean, I think at some point, probably, but it'll be another extreme scenario, and we'll probably get more just Mr. Nobody narrations that kind of show. I don't think he'll be back in that world for a while with the rest of the team.
Well, one thing we do see is Niles is very protective of the team. You said he, even at the end, he's like, you said you would, you wouldn't hurt them.
Yeah.
Like, and he goes, yeah, but I didn't say anything about you. And he takes them, you know? So it's like,
which, and then immediately blows up the cyborg's arm. So I was
Cyborg armed up. So he was like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And he blew up his own arm.
Yeah. But it was like, because time was moving so slow. I don't know. Anyway.
And are they becoming a team? I feel like they're becoming a team.
I would like to think so.
No, I mean, are we not feeling their team vibe?
Yeah.
I mean, the team vibe is definitely getting there, right? Doom Patrol-ish happening? No.
Well, next episode is Doom Patrol Patrols. So,
that's Doom Patrol Patrols. Well, I mean, any tidbits of anything on this episode? I feel like it was tied up nicely. It was definitely... Yeah. Sure, we could have got more, but that's just saying, hey, we want more of this show. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind getting a third episode of this. Even a two-parter, we could have made it a three-parter. We would have just been as engaged. Next episode comes out in 5 days, and we're all like, oh, I can't wait for next one. Any little pieces of things that stuck out in your mind? I mean, I do say Dr. Bertrand was a very interesting character.
I just love the show.
Yeah, like, I just really love the show. Good. I think we got to wrap up.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'm trying not to go.
We're getting. Dr. Bertrand was a good one. I mean, we had a bunch of that.
Yeah. Did we want to pop into any news before we say our farewells?
Yeah, I definitely want to get into that news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So yesterday was Alan Tudyk's birthday.
Oh,
talking about Mr. Nobody making his recurrence. And he's also in the news because he will be Iago in the new Aladdin. He's definitely...
Oh, wow.
It's been announced he's going to be voicing that character.
Nice.
So.
That's awesome.
Pretty dope.
Happy birthday, Alan.
We love you. You're amazing. Hopefully you'll get to say more this time as this bird instead of the chicken and Moana.
Hilarious. Well, that's good. Happy birthday to you. Let's play our little special segment game. I've got the power. What's the power that you saw this episode that you wish you had or wish you never had?
Oh my gosh, why everyone looking at me? Well, I already have powers because I have 64 personalities. So there you go.
Which power would you...
Which one?
Rita, because she's just my favorite character, and I'm really excited to see her finally take control.
Yeah.
Dr. Harrison.
Dr. Harrison, by far. Would love to be able to suggest. Let's get some one-sentence predictions.
Oh, I...
I don't know, dude. I really don't know.
I predict that we'll be back next week talking some more Doom Patrol.
There you go.
I think we're going to get some more Niles views, and I'm thinking that's going to happen in Robo Man and Jane. Can't wait to see more about that. Where can people find you if you want to be found?
Find me at all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan.
And of course, I am Tehran all across the board at I Am Tehran. Please find me and tell your friends. I also host a slew of AfterBuzz after shows right here. So we will see you same Doom Patrol time, same Doom Patrol channel next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.